The Apostle Paul he started the chapter off by talking about the gospel, and he ends it on the resurrection of God's people. And it's a beautiful chapter. If you want to be encouraged, read 1 Corinthians 15. And tonight we're going to be looking at verses 51 through 58. And I'll start reading at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, if you read these last verses, you would think you were reading about a victory celebration. And it's been called that, this last part of 1 Corinthians 15. And the word victory is used here, and it's a prominent word used in the last seven or eight verses of this chapter. And I think we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. But in verse 51, Paul starts off by writing, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, that word mystery in the scriptures means a previously unrevealed truth that Paul is talking about. You know, in the Old Testament, the resurrection of the body is taught. The Jews believed in the resurrection of the body. You recall in John 11 when Martha was meeting the Lord Jesus regarding her brother, Lazarus, who was dead at that time. You know, she said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So we see that the resurrection here in the Old Testament is not a mystery. The mystery is now revealed is that not all believers will experience death. And in that classic passage in 1 Thessalonians 4, we read that the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And here in verse 51, Paul says we shall not all sleep. That means we shall not all die, but we will be changed. That is, we will be transformed. That there is a transformation coming for us, the people of God, at a future date. And he continues in verse 52, he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And I was thinking about that word, twinkling of an eye. What does it mean when an eye twinkles? You know? I never thought about that. We use the expression, well, you have the, I saw the twinkle in your eye, and I'm thinking, what in the world did you see there? And by the way, how fast is a twinkle? But in this particular verse, I think Paul is talking about, when he says a twinkling of an eye, the suddenness of the change that will take place so quickly that it will be like the twinkling of an eye. When this great event occurs, when our bodies are changed, the dead in Christ will rise and their bodies will be changed. It will happen in less than a second, possibly. It'll be sudden. It will be quick. And you would think that changing from flesh and blood bodies. And verse 50, Paul says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You would think that turning from flesh and blood bodies would take thousands or even millions of years. That's what the evolutionists would probably say. But this is going to occur in a short, it will be so sudden and so short, so quick, that it will be in a twinkling of an eye that we will be changed. He also says in verse 52, at the last trump or trumpet. And Paul here is not talking about the trumpet of the book of Revelation, but he's talking about the great summons of the Lord. And again, we go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, and it says that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the trumpet of God. This is going to be that heavenly trumpet. I've never heard a heavenly trumpet. And I know you haven't either. If I haven't heard it, I know you haven't. But you know, someday we will hear that trumpet blast. I can't tell you, we don't know what it's going to sound like, but when it happens, we'll know. We'll know, and we'll understand that this is the trump of God. And at that time, Paul says that we will be raised, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That is to say, the dead believers will be raised free and immune from decay. Their physical bodies will be free from decay. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, and the dead in Christ will rise first during this great soon coming event. And we will be changed. We will be transformed. These lowly bodies that we have now, these flesh and blood bodies that we have now, can't be in heaven. There's going to have to be a change. There's going to have to be a transformation. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And he continues that thought in verse 53. He says, for this corruption, or this corruptible, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible, that is, the dead believers, must put on incorruption, that is, that they will get new bodies that will not die. And that, he says, and this mortal must put on immortality. Mortal simply means that we're still alive, but we're subject to death. That's mortal. When we have our new glorified resurrected bodies, we will be immortal, meaning our bodies will no longer be subject to death. Isn't that great? I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, that's what we have to look forward to, brother, sister in Christ. You see, all we've known over these years are these bodies we have now. We don't know of anything else. We've never seen a glorified body, except for the disciples who saw the Lord Jesus. But we haven't. But someday we will, and we ourselves will possess that body, that glorified, resurrected, never dying body that we will inhabit and be in for all eternity. All eternity. And in verse 53, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, our Savior has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Interesting there that Paul should mention the two things that the gospel presents right there in that verse. The gospel offers two things: eternal life and a body that will not die. You know, if you're telling somebody about, you should believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not only forgive your sins, He will not only forgive your sins and give you eternal life, but He will give you a new, glorified, never-ending body that will never wear out. That's what we'll have. That's what we'll get. Now, that's not part of the gospel. I mean, that's not the message that that Paul preached. But we know that as part of that belief and faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we not only have that eternal life, that forgiveness of sins, but we will have immortal, incorruptible, physical bodies someday. And he says in verse 54, and this is where we get into the victory celebration. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, and the corruption, corruptible and incorruptible bodies, that the bodies that are dead or dying will be changed into bodies that will never die. And he says that death will be swallowed up in victory. That's that word, victory. That's a quote from Isaiah 25:18. In part, that verse reads, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. It's interesting that he would use that term, swallowed up in victory. You know, when you swallow something, it disappears. Kind of like, you know, when I'm eating food and I swallow it, it disappears. But in this particular case, death will be swallowed up in victory. What is that victory that we're talking about? Well, Paul will explain that in just a few minutes. And in verse 55, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's almost like that, this is a quote from Hosea chapter 13 that Paul is speaking of here. But it sounds like that he is mocking death, doesn't he? Like he's taunting death. But I think this is a song of triumph over death, is what Paul is talking about here. At a future time, we will be able, in our glorified bodies, to mock death. Right now, death has a hold on everybody, including us as believers. And you know, you've seen a caricature of that of death in magazines or whatever. He's wearing a long black robe with a hood, and he's carrying this scythe or reaper. That's where we get the expression the Grim Reaper. Well, the Grim Reaper is going to pay me a visit one of these days. Well, you know, when that Grim Reaper comes to us, we don't have to fear. We already have victory. We have victory. And we see also, O grave, where is thy victory? You know, there's hope and victory beyond the grave. That's why at a funeral service, have you ever noticed this? And I'm sure you have, that people who are not saved, the deceased doesn't know Christ. Maybe the family doesn't either. And it looks like they're crying and they have no hope. They have no hope. It's sad. It's tragic. But I've been to Christian funerals before. There are tears being shed. There's sadness on people's faces. But at the very bottom of their hearts, they know that their loved one who was saved has gone on to be with the Lord. And that loved one will be resurrected again someday with a brand new, glorified, resurrected body. What a wonderful future. What a wonderful hope. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, we can all get stung by death at some point in time, but there's nothing to fear, brother, sister in Christ. There's nothing to fear. And Paul says in verse 56, in answer to that question, he's raising some hypothetical questions in verse 55, and he says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of death is the law. You know, if we know that our sins are forgiven, we can face death with confidence, can't we? If we're lying in a hospital bed and there's no hope for us, and in just a short time we're going to die, and we're thinking about our sinful past, and the we may have despair in our hearts. Well, you know, that's not going to happen if we know that we have our sins forgiven, if God has forgiven our sins. And he also said that the strength of sin is the law. You know, the law condemns the sinner. That's what the law does. And it shows the people, the person, how short they come from God's perfection. Some people fall maybe 3 or 4 feet short of God's perfection. Some people fall 50 or 60 miles short of God's perfection. But we all fall short, don't we? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it's also true that when we come to Jesus Christ, we trust Him and we accept Him as our Savior. We know that our sins are forgiven. We know He has forgiven us. At that moment in time, we have victory. Victory over death. Over death. There are people in the world who cannot say that. There are people in the world who are in despair. They think about constantly about their what's going to happen to them. I did that before I was saved. I would think every now and then, you know, what's going to happen to me if I die? I didn't want to think about hell. You know, I kind of put that out of my mind. Put that, just kind of shoved it aside. But we all think about that sometimes before we're saved. And the fact that when Jesus Christ, our Savior, comes into our lives, into our hearts, and we start reading and understanding the Word of God, and we come to the conclusion that we don't have to fear death. The sting and the sting of death is gone. It's not there anymore. And we see in verse 57, he said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's where we have victory, is through our Savior. There is no person in the world is going to say, "Well, you know, I'm going to go to heaven because I think I've been a good person and have something beyond the grave, and I'm going to make it." That person is not going to have victory. You know, there are people in the world, and what else can they depend on? What else can other people depend on except how good they are, what a great life I've led, and that I keep most of the Ten Commandments, that I'm loving to my family, and they love me, and I help my neighbors out, and you know, there's something beyond the grave, and I think there's a heaven out there somewhere, and I hope I make it. That's not victory, brother, sister in Christ. That's not victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us, He has given us the victory over death, victory over the grave, through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing to know. What great assurance can we have for our hearts? What wonderful hope for the future can we have than to know that we have victory over death? Sometimes I think about dying. I mean, I'm not suicidal or depressed or anything. The reason I think about that is, you know, what's heaven going to be like? You know, it's not the fact that what is dying going to be like? You know, what is that like? Nobody's ever told me that. We read it in the scriptures. What dying is about for the believer and the non-believer. But you know, we have nothing to fear. There's no haunting fear in our lives. There's nothing that controls us. There's nothing that can give us despair. There's nothing that people can hang over us and make fun of us and mock us because of our faith in Christ and the fact that we're going to heaven someday. You know, none of that stuff counts because we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, in verse 58, we see that the practical value of the resurrection, Paul talks about in verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable," or immovable. Another rendering would be firm and unshakable. "Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We understand that God's work goes on despite the fact that believers die. You know, God's work continues to go on. If we were to die, if I were to die, you know, the work here at Northgate Chapel is not going to come to a screeching halt. It will go on, you see. And we should be firm and unshakable in that belief. And knowing the fact that when we come to Jesus Christ and believe in Him, we will not only have resurrected bodies, but we can serve the Lord. Because we know our future and our work for God is not futile. It's not worthless. For as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our work for the Lord here has meaning. It has meaning now, and it has meaning for eternity. Even the simplest work done for God is brother or sister, it's important. It's important. Even a cup of cold water given in my name will not lose its reward. That's what our Savior said. You don't have to get up here on the pulpit and preach to know that, understand that your work counts for God. You may be saying, well, you know, Earl, I just do a small, little, tiny little thing, and you know, it's insignificant. Nobody else knows about it. God does. And I would remind you, and I've reminded you in the past about this, any work done for God is a big work. You don't have to be a world-renowned evangelist, preacher, or celebrity to know that God will keep that work, and you will be rewarded for that work someday. Your work for God is never, ever futile. It's never in vain. It's always has meaning, not only now, but for all eternity. And Paul ends this passage with verse 58, and he's saying to the Corinthians, you know, we may die. Life goes on. We'll continue to serve the Lord. We have a hope for the future, brother, sister in Christ. What a glorious and wonderful thing. It's beyond even our wildest imaginations. I try to conceive of what we're going to have someday in heaven with our glorified bodies. I just can't understand it totally, completely. But I know it's going to happen, and I know I'm going to be there. And so will you. So will you. In closing, I'd like to read that. It's a verse in the hymn that we know. When we reach our peaceful dwelling, and our praise to Him is swelling, who the vast creation fills, when the paths of prayer and duty and affliction all are trod, and we wake and see the beauty of our Savior and our God. Oh, 'twill be a glorious morrow to a dark and stormy day when we smile upon our sorrow and the storms have passed away.